Take your Bibles, please, and find 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in our journey through Paul's second letter to Timothy, we come now to verses 15 through 18. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. And tonight I want us to think about friends, loyal and disloyal. Friends, loyal and disloyal. Just a quick recap. You'll recall that 2 Timothy is the last inspired letter that comes from the pen of Paul the Apostle. And he writes from a dark, dank, vermin-infested dungeon, probably the Mamertine prison in Rome. And he will not leave this prison until the day of his execution comes. He had been imprisoned once previously, but had been released when he was under house arrest and had engaged in further travels, and some scholars think that he did make it to Spain. That was his ambition, to preach the gospel there, which was the westernmost outreach, of course, of the known world at that time. But now he's back in Rome, and this time he's not under house arrest. He's in a very uncomfortable dungeon. And so this is the last of his inspired letters. An ancient fable known as the Tale of Two Travelers and the Bear describes a fearsome encounter that two travelers had one day when they were out and they encountered a huge bear. And one of the travelers, in great fear, quickly climbed his way up the top of a high tree. He gave no thought to his friend who was on the ground. And the other, with no chance to go anywhere, had heard somewhere that bears have little interest in those who are dead. And so he fell to the ground and pretended to be dead. The bear came alongside this traveler who was pretending to be dead. And he nuzzled him and sniffed him and sniffed around at his face and his ears, and thinking him to be dead, eventually ambled away. When the bear was long gone, the man high up in the tree decided it was safe to climb down, and so he did, and he went up to his friend, and he asked him, he said, "What did the bear say to you?" He said, "Because I saw that his mouth was long in your ear." And the man who pretended to be dead, as he stood up and dusted himself off, he said, "It is no secret what the bear told me. He said that I should be careful about keeping company with those who, when danger arises, leave their friends in the lurch." Well, I don't guess Paul ever heard that ancient fable, but he could identify with it, because now Paul finds himself in some great danger, some hardship, as he's in prison, and some of his friends have forsaken him. Paul had been abandoned by his fair weather friends, and two of them are named for us here in verse 15. Phygellus and Hermogenes. But Paul had been encouraged by a foul weather friend who stood by him in his hardship. And his name is identified for us in verse 16 is as Onesiphorus. And so we see here Paul with friends, both loyal and disloyal. Now, what's the thrust of these few verses? It's just simply this. We're not to be a deserter, but instead we are to be an encourager. Look in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. Paul writes to Timothy, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he may find mercy from the Lord on that day. You may know, you know very well in how many ways he helped me in Ephesus. And may the Lord grant mercy to this preacher tonight to try to pronounce these three names correctly. And I'm not sure if I got it right or not, but I've been working on it for several days, and it'll just have to do. I'm going to ask the Lord someday why these parents name their sons these names, when it could be something like Billy Bob and something like that. Anyway, here we find Paul in prison writing about friends, loyal and disloyal. Two kinds of friends. Faithful friends, who are loyal in the sunshine, but disloyal when the storm comes. Fair weather friends, who are loyal when the weather's fair, and disloyal when the weather's stormy. And foul weather friends, like Onesimus, who was loyal not only in the sunshine, but also loyal in Paul's days of hardship. Now, first of all, let's look in verse 15 and let's think about the faithless friends who desert. Now, Paul had some of those. He names two of them for us, and there are others there. Look again in verse 15. He says to Timothy, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus and Hermogenes." Now, he names them for us. We know nothing about these two men except what is revealed here, which is just the fact that they deserted Paul. We have presumed that they were cowards. When the hard times came, they left Paul. Now, presumably, these men, Phygellus and Hermogenes, are known to Timothy and perhaps are known to others as well in Asia and in Ephesus. Look in verse 15 again. Paul says, "You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted or forsaken me." Now, when we read the province of Asia in the New Testament, we're talking about modern-day Turkey, primarily Western Turkey. And during those days, the largest city in Asia was the city of Ephesus. And it was a very influential city. And Paul had spent between 2 and 3 years of his missionary ministry in the city of Ephesus. He had gone there and preached, and there was great response and great receptivity to the gospel, and many came to saving faith in Jesus Christ. And then Paul moved on, and later Timothy went there to become the pastor of the church in Ephesus. But now some years have passed. Paul is in prison, and obviously a great falling away has taken place. Now, Paul was, on this occasion, given to maybe hyperbole a little bit, because look in verse, again in verse 15, he says that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me. New Testament scholars say he was so down and so disheartened at this point that it appeared to him that all of his friends in Ephesus and in the surrounding countryside had forsaken him. But of course, they say that was not the case. And we know while many had forsaken him, there was a falling away. There were many who had not forsaken Paul or the gospel, though many had. Now, why had they turned away? Well, obviously, because of Paul's arrest. Paul had been incarcerated now, and the persecution was underway against Christians, and some of them had now become frightened, and they were fearful to identify with Paul the apostle. And so not only did they desert Paul, but they also chose to fall away from the gospel itself. Paul had been abandoned. He had been forsaken. He had been rejected by his friends. And it was hard on him. John MacArthur, pastor of Grace Community Church in California, writes of this passage, "To be rejected by the world is not pleasant, but to be deserted by fellow workers in the service of Christ is particularly painful. To have those you have spent your life spiritually nurturing turn away from you, and sometimes even against you, is heartbreaking in the extreme." He goes on to say, Paul had given himself without reservation to these men from Asia. Like the Galatian believers, they were Paul's spiritual children with whom he would be in labor until Christ was formed in them. It is no wonder that he expressed at the beginning of his second letter his deep longing to see Timothy, one of the few who had not deserted him. When I read that, I thought, it sounds like Pastor John MacArthur has had that same experience, as I suppose every pastor has. Friends are so important. And God's plan is that we have friends and that we be friends. Proverbs 17:17 says, a friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity. And adversity is the crucible, if you please, in which true friends and false friends are identified. And the wheat is separated from the chaff. Adversity oftentimes separates faithless friends from faithful friends. Ken Hughes, pastor of a college church in Wheaton, Illinois, said, Paul, the great people-oriented person, a passionate lover of the church, was in pain. You have to be in a real relationship with people for them to really hurt you. People you don't know cannot hurt you. Hurt comes when you have known them, loved them, and have invested in them. And then he quotes C.S. Lewis, who said, to love at all is to be vulnerable. If you don't want to be hurt, don't give yourself to anyone, not even to a cat. That's the risk we run when we invest in friends. John Calvin, the great reformer, who preached for so many years in Geneva, experienced a similar hurt when he was expelled from the city of Geneva and was abandoned by one-time friends, much like the Apostle Paul was abandoned by his friends in Asia. And many of those who deserted him became accusers of Calvin and his ministry, and they wandered through France trying to destroy him. By establishing their own innocence, Calvin said, by directing against us, meaning himself, all the accusations that they can. And so Paul is feeling the loneliness and the pain of being deserted by those that he had invested his life in back in Asia. And he writes to Timothy, the pastor of the church in Ephesus. He says, Timothy, don't be faithless like Phygellus and Hermogenes. Don't be a friend who deserts. Be a faithful friend. And we see that in verses 16 through 18. Not only the faithless friends who desert, but we see in verses 16, 17, and 18, the faithful friends who refresh. And one by name is identified for us, Onesiphorus, a faithful friend. Look again in verse 16. May the Lord show mercy to the household, that is the family of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. You see, Paul was not only in a dungeon, but he was chained to a Roman soldier. He was shackled. This is no house arrest. But there was a faithful friend named Onesiphorus, also from Asia, who came to Paul, and Paul says, he often refreshed me, and therefore I desire that God show mercy to him. He was not ashamed of my chains. Others forsook me, but not Onesiphorus. He stood by me, found me. Look in verse 17. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, now Rome is not his hometown, he had to go to Rome to find Paul. He searched hard for me until he found me. It wasn't just it was easy to find Paul. Paul was hard to find, and he had to search hard. He had to walk up and down the alleys and the streets and the boulevards, and he had to go to the public squares. He had to ask lots of questions to find out where Paul was. And Paul was regarded by the Romans as an enemy of the state. He was a threat. That's why he was in this dungeon. And so he had to look for him. He had to search hard for him. And he ran the risk of being persecuted himself if he was too closely identified with Paul. This was during the time of the persecution under the Roman Emperor Nero, who burned a great portion of the city and blamed the Christians for the fire. It wasn't an easy time to serve Christ. For this man, Onesimus, he refused to give up. He pressed on. He pressed in. He searched hard until he found Paul. And he refreshed him. The word translated refreshed here is the same root word from which we get our word soul. And the implication is that he refreshed him not just materially, but he also refreshed him spiritually. He refreshed his soul. He found him and refreshed him, revived his spirit, lifted him up, encouraged him. Verse 18, Paul says, "May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day." On that day is the day when we see Jesus face to face at the end of the age. Paul's desire was that this one who had shown such mercy to him would find mercy from God. Did he find mercy? We can be quite confident and say that indeed he did find mercy, because the Bible says, "Blessed are the merciful, for they will find mercy." And this friend of Paul was a merciful man. God would have us to show mercy. We have such a great need to receive mercy from others, especially from our friends. We have a role model here in Onesimus to demonstrate mercy. Former President Theodore Roosevelt said, "The greatest men are those who would willingly serve in the shadows. The least and the last are the first and the foremost. We must strive, each of us, to so conduct our own lives as to be, to a certain extent, our brother's keeper." Acts of mercy, Roosevelt says, are the only credentials for true greatness. What kind of friend are you? Are you a friend that shows mercy? Or a friend that forsakes your friends when the heat's turned up? And so Paul had this need for encouragement from Timothy, and to know that Timothy was standing firm. And so he takes pen in hand and he writes these words. Don't be faithless, but be faithful. Don't be a fair weather friend, be a foul weather friend. We're to be the kind of friend that sticks closer than a brother. God give us the grace to do it. And if we seek it, He will. And as we demonstrate that kind of friendship, one to the other, it is a testimony to the watching world. There's something different about those believers. Something different that becomes very attractive to them. Let's pray together. God, our Father, we pray now in Jesus' name.